Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 6. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah and chapter number 6. If there was a book in the Bible that would correctly picture the Christianity that we have in our country today, it would be the book of Jeremiah. If there was any book of the Bible that, when obeyed and heeded, that would spark revival, that would be the book of Jeremiah. That the book of Jeremiah exposes the idea of a religion that does not please God. But it doesn't just leave it there. It doesn't leave it in a depressing state. It doesn't leave it where it's just saying, look at everything that's going wrong. But it also has the answer. And the answer is turn back to God. The answer is return unto me, saith the Lord. The answer is to repent. The answer is revival that comes from God's outpouring of His Spirit as His people return unto Him. And as we come to the book of Jeremiah and chapter number 6, we find Jeremiah still as a young preacher. And once again, God is having him preach to the people. But Jeremiah is starting to understand a little bit more about his audience. And so if you don't mind, look with me in the book of Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, and notice with me starting at verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 1, the word of God says this. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves together to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Antioch, and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Hekerem, for evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flock shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They should feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord God of hosts said, hew ye down trees, and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thy hand as grape gatherers into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my peace slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I sent watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruits of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark one word that we find in the midst of Jeremiah chapter 6? Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 14, and mark the word slightly. The word slightly. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message called Slightly. And if you're in the habit of marking notes and keeping notes, that we're going to have another message called Slightly later on. So just for differentiation's sake, let's call this Slightly Part 1. Slightly Part 1. And if you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. I thank you that you're a God who truly does love us. You have no desire and no wish for harm to fall on us. You've never had an intention to bring destruction upon your people, but it was because the people refused to obey. It's because the people wanted to have their own way that you saw necessary to chastise your people, to correct them, to draw them close to you once again. Lord, we know that your ultimate goal is for the people to be drawn to you. And I'm asking that your word would do your work in a special way, that we would all be attentive in a special way tonight, that tonight you would draw us all close, that we would be dependent upon you, that we'd have a self-examination in our life to see what type of relationship, what type of religion we may have. And that if it is not one that's pleasing to you, that we would make steps to correct that, that we could be as close to you as possible, as pleasing to you as possible, as usable by you as possible, that we could have peace for our souls, that we could be effective for witness to those around us, that we could avoid the destruction that is yet to come. Lord, I'm asking that you would empower this message in a special way, that it could only be said that it was God. Lord, fill me with your precious spirit. I just surrender myself as your instrument tonight. Just be God. Let it be clear and grant us all supernatural, Holy Spirit-filled discernment tonight. And in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah, at this stage in his life, is still a young preacher. He's still in his later 20s. King Josiah is still king. And he's preached a couple different messages already. Now remember that God warned him from the very beginning that people are not going to listen. He said, don't be afraid of their faces. Hey, because you're going to preach and they're not going to like it. No one's going to like your message, Jeremiah. They don't want to hear the old-fashioned preaching of God's word. And now, once again, God has sent Jeremiah to preach another message. This one very pointed, this one very clear, this one very understandable. And notice what Jeremiah, as he's now has the instructions, as he's God's messenger, notice what is recorded in Jeremiah chapter number 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach unto them. They have no delight in it. As Jeremiah is now told to preach this message, He stops and understands that the beginning part of this chapter is talking about destruction. That Babylon is coming. That Babylon is the nation towards the north. And to gather itself together as an army, as a shepherd, surrounding this one city, as God says it, this girl, surrounding it and preparing their armies about it. The armies are talking, let's go, we're ready to go. And we could see that the shadow of Babylon is casting its shadow darker and darker and darker over the land. That God is sending judgment. That storm is coming. And the only thing that will still it is if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. And then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. That is the answer. That is exactly what is necessary. That is the message that he is supposed to give. That judgment is coming. And the only way to stop it is if God's people, not the heathen people, not the atheists, not the politicians, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall pray. That's the answer. And Jeremiah says, oh, I already know what the response is. I already know that if I give them this message and I tell them that it's the people's, God's people's responsibility to get right. He says, I know how it's going to turn out. Notice verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? He says, who in this place I could give this message to is actually going to respond? He says, I could preach and guess what? The altars are going to be empty. I could preach and no one's going to change their life. I'm going to preach and no one's even going to bat an eye. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. That is poetical, pictorial language, carrying the idea that no one's ear is dedicated to God, receptive to God, holy to God, wanting to hear anything of God. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot hearken. They can't hearken because they won't hear. Behold, the word of God is unto them. Now remember, we're not speaking to heathens. We're not speaking about atheists. We're speaking about people that call themselves God's people. And the people that call themselves God's people, Jeremiah says, that the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. That people said, oh yeah, I'm God's people. Well, how come you don't do what the Bible says? I don't have to do that. That's just not for me. And whatever excuse. The word of God to them is a reproach. I don't have to obey that. No, I don't have to do that. And they have no delight in it. What's that it? The word of God. This is a type of people who are very, very religious. They are very, very much say, oh yeah, we're God's people. But we don't want to listen to God's word. We're not confined to God's word. We can do whatever we want. God still loves us. And this is why we have the word slightly. Because they have a slightly religious life. They are slightly religious. They are slightly for the Lord. They are living a slightly life. And so if you don't mind, I'd like to take this portion of the Word of God, and I'd like to explain to you the results of having a slightly religious background. A slightly religion. What happens to someone who's slightly for the Lord, slightly involved in this Christian life? What is it for someone who's not sold out for God? Now, again, we're not speaking about atheists. We're not speaking about Washington or politicians. We're not speaking about heathens. We're speaking about people who claim to be God's people. We're speaking about Christians who say, oh yeah, I follow the Lord, but it's only slightly. People that say, oh, I'm very religious, slightly. Oh, I'm all for going to church every once in a while. Oh, I don't have to read my Bible all the time. Oh, it's all right if I don't tithe. Oh, I don't have to obey the pastor. I don't need to go to the altar. I don't need to do this. It's all right. We need to have religion, but also in small doses. Having a slightly religion. What is the effects? What is the results? What happens to a group of people who are only slightly religious? Well, if you don't mind, let's take the Bible. Let's see. That first of all, we understand that a slightly religion brings no peace. A slightly religion brings no peace. Notice what the Word of God says, starting in verse number 13. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them. So God is now talking about the people. He says, from the least of them to the greatest of them, to the person who thinks he's just a little nobody, to the person he thinks he is the absolutely somebody, from the least of them to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. So every single one is desiring what they want to have. They don't care about anything else. They don't care about God. They want to live their life the way they want to. I, my own person, I have liberty. I can do whatever I want. I am fine. They're all looking for their own selves and their own wants. From the least of them, even to the greatest of them, is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. So it talks about the regular people, that the regular people, every single one of them, are just about what makes me happy. I'm all about making me happy. It's all about me. Whereas you have the prophet and you have the priest, you have the religious leaders, you have those pastors, you have the people who are speaking to the people. Every one of them speak falsely. Now, what are they speaking falsely to the people about? Notice in verse 14. They, that's the priest and the prophet, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. What is happening is that there's a group of people that they are only about themselves. What makes me happy? What makes me feel good? What is it that I want? And in order to stay with that same theme, in order for them not to change their ways, the preachers have changed their message. And what they've done is they've told everyone, you're okay. It doesn't matter what you do. God loves you. These are the people that love the verse, God is love. Now, they can't find it in the Bible, by the way. It's in 1 John, by the way. But they said, oh yeah, God is love. God loves you just as you are. You don't have a sin problem. You have a self-esteem problem. And you need is to make yourself a better you. And then they smile and then the little twinkle goes off of their smile. People say, oh, I like that message. You know, preacher, we need a positive message. We don't need to make people feel bad by pointing out all the bad things they've done. We need to encourage them. And we need to tell them what a great person they truly are. We need to tell them that God loves them and He accepts them as they truly are. Now, we understand there is some truth in that, that God does accept it. That when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're accepted in the Beloved. But you understand that your actions might not be accepted by God. The way that you live your life, the little things that's all about you may not be acceptable and pleasing unto God. And so what happens is that the people are saying, it doesn't matter. You go ahead. I know that you really love that person and you're not married, but that's fine. God still loves you. Oh, I know. You just really love going to the bar on Saturday night. But as long as you make it to church the next morning, we're good with it. You understand that the preachers are dealing with the people falsely, that they're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. You understand that people will not change if it is not pointed out that what they're doing is wrong. As long as you pat people on the head, as long as you say, it's all right, God still loves you, they're not going to change their wicked ways. You understand that's exactly what has happened in American Christianity. That what happened is that the preachers, in order to make the people more happy, is that they stopped preaching the Word of God. In fact, they started giving positive messages, things to encourage people up. And you know what happened? The people in the church pews got bored to tears. It's just another message. There's no power of God. It's just the power of man. It's just a powerful, encouraging message. And so what happened is that the people got bored. And then they say, well, if I'm going to go to church and be bored, why do I have to go? Now, the preachers are scrambling because they can't lose people in attendance. They have to keep people in the pews. So what they do is that they have to find some way to entertain the people because they're so bored. And so let's pump up the music. Hey, let's make the music more entertaining. Hey, when that doesn't work, let's put on plays. Let's put on dramas. Let's do this. Let's do that. Until the preaching of God's word demutes to nothing, but a preacherette smoking a cigarette, sitting, giving a sermonette to a bunch of Christianettes. You understand that you've got a bunch of slightly. You've got to the place where there is no word of God. And all it is telling people that you're fine, you're good. And we wonder where the power of American Christianity is. There is no power. There is nothing. We wonder why people's lives aren't being changed. It's because it's not pointed out that there is sin in the camp. You understand that preaching like this is so rare. And you understand that now people are so conditioned to such a positive message that preaching like this really aggravates and bothers some people. You understand that there's many people that cannot sit under a message like this. And by the way, I'm not bragging that, oh, people just run away when they hear my preaching. You know, that's actually a very brokenheartedness. You understand that I may preach hard, but I should never preach harsh. That's a difference. But we need to have hard preaching. We need to have thus saith the Lord. We need to be very clear. This pleases God and this does not please God. And until we have that type of preaching, people won't change. As long as they feel that they can do their sin and get away with it, they will. And what's happening is if they have a false peace that I'm right with God, I'm fine with God, I could do whatever I want because the preacher pats me on the head on Saturday and or Sunday morning, and I could go and do whatever I want the rest of the week. And as long as I make it to church, as long as I go to my confession, as long as I go with my rosaries, as long as I do my Hail Marys, as long as I do this, I'm good. And the people love to have it so. That was what happened in the last chapter. And the people love to have it so. You understand, people love American Christianity because they like having the part of Christianity where, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm religious, and that makes them feel good. But they also like the part that they can do whatever they want and they're fine. People like that American Christianity. But you know what happens? It heals the hurt of my daughter slightly. You understand when it comes time that people need counseling? How would you go to a preacher that doesn't preach on sin and say, you know what? I have an emptiness inside of my heart. How can I feel it? Well, it's all right. You just keep smiling because God's smiling at you. You understand that's not going to help that person. You understand when it comes time that a husband and wife come in and say, preacher, let it know that we love each other, but our marriage is hurting and we have some problems going on. We need help. That you understand that if you don't point out what's wrong, it's not going to get fixed. You can't just say, well, you know, you're both going to be fine. Just keep smiling. That may make them feel good for a moment, but it's not going to give them the peace that they need. You understand that peace with God is something that is supernatural and is something that only comes from being right with God, both positionally and in fellowship. You understand there is nothing like being right with God, having that peace in your heart that you know that you are clean and right with God. But that only comes by pointing out that is sin. That is wrong. You should not do that. They have healed the hurt of my daughter slightly. Notice the next verse. It says, were they ashamed? This is speaking about God's people now. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. You understand that we now have American Christianity like Jeremiah did, where people are no longer ashamed of their sin anymore. That, in fact, we've turned the opposite things way, that Christians and people brag about their sin. Hey, man, I got so trashed this weekend. And man, I had to be right by the toilet. Oh, man, I can't wait till next weekend to do it again. You understand that 40 years ago, public drunkenness was a shame. You did not want to be caught to be publicly drunk. It was against morals. It was against society. It was against things. People were ashamed. But now they are not at all ashamed. And by the way, I'm not speaking about the world, and I'm not speaking about heathens and atheists. I'm talking about Christians. That Christianity today is such a horrible cesspool of the things that they do, and not just do, that they brag about. And they're not even at all ashamed. They brag about their lying. They brag about their cheating. They brag about how they get away from this, and how they do this, and how they do this. And they're not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. The word blush is a very important word. You understand, we've lost our blush. That we're so used to sin, and we're so hardened to sin, that it no longer bothers us. Not when we sin, and it doesn't bother us when other people sin. We have lost our blush. Were they ashamed when they committed an abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. That until, until sin is pointed out, people will not get right. One of the problems we have today is we compartmentalize Christianity. That Christianity is only allowed Sunday mornings from this block here, and then don't you dare bring your Christianity to work. You understand? When's the last time you prayed before your meal at work? Why not? You understand that our God's not something to be ashamed about. But what happens is that we're afraid of what people will think of us. We're afraid that they're going to think that we're too religious. Why do you go to church all the time? You know, isn't that kind of crazy? If you could forgive the personal illustration, I remember when I was a teenager and starting to really catch on fire for the Lord. And my parents weren't going to church. And I remember going to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and being glad to go and dragging my baby brother and sister and dragging them to church. And I remember one time my mom pulling me aside and said, I need to talk to you. I'm really worried about you. Yeah, I mean, you're taking this church thing way too far. Are you part of a cult? I remember her having this talk with me because in her mind, she couldn't imagine a Christian being this serious about it, being so serious that they wanted to be at church every service and they look forward to it. And they literally cried as a teenager when their parents wouldn't let them go to church. You understand that the world doesn't understand this, and the world's fine for us being religious just as long as we don't take it too far. They don't mind us being religious as long as we don't take it to work, as long as we don't take it to school. They're fine with us having a slight religion. They're fine with us just keeping it contained. They like that compartmentalized. You know, sure, religion's good for everyone. Everyone needs to have good morals. But they want you to keep it there. And the Christians want to keep it there. Just have religion and one thing. Oh, man, you could have good services on Sunday morning. And the rest of the week, a Christian might not even think about the Lord whatsoever. Monday, it's not thinking about. Tuesday, you don't even think about it. Wednesday, you might say, am I going to church or not? No big deal. And then you continue to go on. It's not a big deal. That Christianity is only put in this thing here. And the world doesn't mind it. They do mind when someone is sold out to God. They do mind when we start bothering other people with our religion. That's when they have a problem. But the Christians, easy to comply, we like to compartmentalize. That is a slight religion. And you know what? We are not helping ourselves, and we're not helping the world, because there's nothing different about our lives. So we understand that a slight religion brings no peace. There's something else we see in this passage, that not only does a slight religion bring no peace, but a slightly religion brings rebellion. A slightly religion brings rebellion. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. You understand that a slightly religion brings rebellion. You understand the type of religion that these people had in Jeremiah's day, and the type of religion that we have in American Christianity, is they love having the flesh life, mixed with a little bit of religion. They don't mind having the best of both worlds. You understand, people are very fine with being able to do whatever they want. And as long as they show up to church, they feel good about themselves. And you know what happens over time? Is that because it's all about them, and as long as they feel good about themselves, that when God points something out from his word, they said, I don't want to obey that. I don't want to listen to that. I don't care what you say. I can do whatever I want. They don't want to serve God completely, and they definitely don't want to do things the Bible way. They come up with their own way of doing things. They come to the place where I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to do it anyways. I don't care what you show me about the Bible, about drinking, I'm going to drink anyways. I don't care what you say about marriage, I'm going to live with my partner anyways. And they come to the place where they don't care what the Bible says. And there are full rebellion. And by the way, this is not atheist, and it is not heathen. It is not the politicians. It is those that call themselves Christians that are rebellious against God's word. It is them that say, I refuse to obey. I don't care what is said. You understand? Look and see what the Bible says. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. So stand in the ways and see. Watch for God. Look for him. And ask. Notice this. Ask for the old pass. You understand? You're not just supposed to stand and wait till someone tells you what to do. You're supposed to be seeking the old pass. You know, there is an old time religion that's still good enough for me. There's an old time religion that was good for our fathers. It was an old time religion that was good for our mothers. And it is still good enough for me. That we're not supposed to be looking for the newfangled way. We're supposed to be asking for the old pass. What is the Bible way of doing it? What's the old fashioned way of doing it? What does the Bible say? And not just wait till someone tells us, but to be searching for it, to be actively and purposefully. What does God want me to do? How can I be right? I want to be right. Looking for the ways. Looking. What is the way to do it? You understand that modern Christianity has a lot of new ideas that does not match with the Bible. It has a lot of new philosophies that do not match up with the Bible. And when confronted, they would rather have the new ways than conform to what the Bible says. Notice it says, ask for the old path. Wherein is the good way? God says, here's the good way. And walk therein. Walk in the way that I told you. Notice what God promised them. And ye shall find rest for your souls. You know what God is telling these people? You obey the Bible and I will bless you. And the people's response, I don't care. I'm going to do whatever I want. Walk this way. Walk in the old path. I don't want to walk in that way. I want to do it this way. I think it's better off doing it this way. And that rebellion, it comes through because the people want the slight religion. They do not want to get close to selling out. They don't want to get close to being fanatical about it. And what is happening is that we've got a watered down Christianity that is a poor example to the world. Notice in verse 17, also I have set watchmen over you. In today's age, we understand that it's a pastor, that God has set a pastor over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. You understand that to be totally sold out to God, to be totally for God, that you understand that means submitting to that authority. That as long as the pastor hasn't asked anything illegal, immoral, or unbiblical, we need to do our absolute best to submit to the pastor. Why? Is it because the pastor's so great? No, because God is guiding us through that. You understand, this is a heart issue. And there are many things, people say, well, it's just a small thing. No, it's a heart thing. What's just a small issue? I don't have to obey it. No, it is rebellion. You see, you have a choice. Every time authority gives you something directed from the Word of God, principled by the Word of God, your choice is to obey or disobey. It doesn't matter what excuse you give. And it could be a good excuse. It's either obey or disobey. That's black and white. And that's how God sees it. There is no gray area. You obey or you disobey. But here's the good news. People say, well, that's pretty tough. Yes, but God said, if you obey, here's the good path. Here's the good way. Here's the way to have peace. The rebellion, leads to more rebellion. Well, I didn't have to obey here, so I'm not going to obey here. And I don't want to obey here. And it leads down a path of full rebellion. You understand that we have today in Christianity some of the craziest, bizarrest things that you would never thought would be possible. In Phoenix, Arizona, they have the place called the Anti-Church. It's a place where you could worship God and it not feel like church. In Phoenix is a lot of stuff. They have something called a ministry called Beer and Bible. It's where singles can get together and talk about the Bible over a couple cold ones and meet other people. You understand, I even heard rumor that they had a drive-through church where if you were in a hurry on Sunday but you still want to get your church in, you could actually drive through a drive-through and hear that little sermonette and then continue on your way without even leaving the comfort of your car. You understand that type of stuff exists? That's not just made up. People think that is good Christianity. There are Christians out there that say that is a great idea. You understand, is that the old paths? Is that the Bible way? But you understand those people think that is fine. And what has happened is because of the rebellion, they still want to be religious. They don't want to deny God. Oh, we love Jesus. But they want to have it their way. Someone said they want to have a Burger King religion. They have it their way. A little bit of this, a little bit of this, hold the mayo. You understand, we have to take what the Bible says complete and whole. Otherwise, we get a slight religion. And that slight religion, let me tell you, it brings no peace. That slight religion, it brings rebellion. Now let's trace out the rest of this. You know what the world wants to do to Christians? Is they want to suck in Christians. They want to suck them in so that way, oh, no, you don't have to be so religious. You could have some of that. But come on, there's nothing wrong with a drink. There's nothing wrong with watching this. There's nothing wrong with having this. And what happens is they suck the Christian to finally looking like the world, acting like the world, but still calling themselves a Christian. And then after they're done sucking the Christian in, they turn around and laugh at him. Ha, 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 I thought he was a Christian. You know, the Christians of the lost world laughs at the idea of beer and Bible. The lost world laughs at Christians for having an anti-church. The lost world laughs at Christians for having Christian pornography. You understand, the world laughs at Christians because the Christians are no longer holy. They are no longer living for the Lord. They're a cheap imitation of the world. And so they're not of the world and they're not of God and they're left out and they're a laughingstock. If you ever need more example, go study the story of Lot. Here is a believer who is in heaven right now. But he sold out and didn't live like a Christian. He lived like the world and the world mocked him and they laughed at him when it came time for him to be destroyed. Weak and pathetic and no power of God, no way to influence those around him because he had a weak, pathetic religion. You understand the world does not want a cheap imitation of itself when it needs help. It needs something that is different. It needs something that is completely different. Let me also insert here that we as Christians, we are not better than the world. We are different than the world. We're not better than anybody. We are different. And the world needs something different, not something that is just like them. When it all is said and done, they are looking for hope. And if Christians have no hope to offer, they have nowhere to look. You want to know why our world is in our mess? It is today. It is not because of Washington. It's not because of the heathen. It's not because of atheists. It is because of Christians had a slight religion. Which brings me to the very end thereof. We started off that a slight religion, it brings no peace. It doesn't help. That a slight religion, it brings rebellion. And the end thereof, a slight religion brings destruction. A slight religion brings destruction. Notice with me in verse 18. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I, this is God, will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. You know what happens to a slight religion? It brings destruction. That is exactly what's going on in Jeremiah's day. Is that you have some people who say, oh, sure, we love God, but they don't obey. Sure, we love God. We're God's people. And they didn't listen. Sure, we love God. Oh, praise Jehovah. And they rejected God's plan. And so what God had to do to get their attention was to bring destruction, to bring chastisement. He brought the Babylonian nation to come and to chastise his people. You understand, in the book of Hebrews, God explains this principle, that if you are one of God's children, or claim to be one of God's children, and he does not take you behind the woodshed when you do wrong, you're not one of God's people in the first place. You understand, you could claim to be one of God's people and not be saved. You could say, I show up to church and not be saved. But once you are saved and you know it, you understand that God has a desire for you to obey him, because he wants to use you. And that means you can't have a slight religion. You understand, the reason why we have no impact over our families is because we have a slight religion. You want to know why people don't listen to us? Is because we have a slight religion. That Christianity as a whole is falling apart. But I'm not speaking to Christianity as a whole. I'm speaking to us. You understand that there are some of us that are not quite sold out. There are some of us that maybe have no discernment. Say, I don't understand why I have to read my Bible every day. Let me tell you, you may have a slight religion. I don't understand why I need to be in church every time the doors open. You might have a slight religion. Why I don't understand about this giving thing. You might have a slight religion. Well, I don't understand why we have to go out every week and go tell people about the Lord. You might have a slight religion. You understand that the Christianity that has power is a Christianity that of his people following after him. You understand the type of Christianity that most of us would rather have, if we'd be honest, is to be able to enjoy the pleasures of the world and then top it off with a little bit of religion. If we would be honest, that's where we all like to sit. But you understand where God wants us to be is 100% sold out for him. Saying, Lord, you are my everything. You remember what God told the people to worship him at? He said, you worship the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. You understand, God doesn't want some of your strength, some of your heart, some of your mind. He wants it all, because he's deserving and he is God. This slight religion doesn't help anybody. The slight religion does not bring peace. The slight religion does bring rebellion. And when it's all said and done, the slight religion will bring destruction. And again, we can't do anything about everybody else. The only person that we can do anything is about ourselves. You know where you sit. Perhaps, maybe there's some people that are playing games and may try to self-deceive and try to say, I'm fine. But you know where you're at. You know if you're sold out and you're dedicated to God or not. You know where you are. You know what your heart desires. What I'm asking, as I'm delivering this message, Jeremiah said, who am I going to speak to, because no one's going to listen? I believe that we have some folks in here that have a desire to be pleasing to God. I believe that we have some folks in here that have a desire to be sold out for God. I believe some people in here that say, I want to ask for the old paths. But perhaps there's also some people that says, I just don't know. I want to encourage you, dear friend, that you will have peace following the Lord that you cannot get anywhere else. I want to ask you tonight, how is your religion in this sense? Is it slightly, or are you sold out? Is it slightly, or are you going crazy about it? Is it slightly, or are you fanatical about it, as the world would say? Don't be afraid of the world's terms. You work on your own relationship with the Lord. Are you all in, or do you have one foot in, one foot out? Do we have a slightly religion? Or is our goal God? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.